Well, today we're going to talk about the all alone wound. And for the last few times that we've been together, we've been talking actually about past things. We've been talking about mom, we've been talking about dad, we've been talking about relationships with them, we've been talking about a lot of different things when it comes to the past. And you'll never leave that backpack of experience, that luggage that you carry around, and that's okay. You're not bound by it unless you allow it to rule you, unless you allow it to be domineering over you. But today I want to talk a little bit about the present and the future. And so when you think about all alone, it makes me think of the animal world for a moment and the power that is involved in being together. The life of a man and life of anybody, but we're talking to men today, life is a team sport. It's not to be played out as an individual. We need one another. It's not good that man is alone. That's the only thing pre-fall that was a bad thing that brought any sort of question is his aloneness. And so God took care of that. And so we come to this time, and when we think about the animal world, we think about the fact that when you think about geese and the power of that V, and as they're flying together, and the one that's up front is drafting, is using a lot of the strength, and the ones that are behind are flowing in that. And that one is pulling, and there's a lot of honking going on. They're encouraging each other on this flight. And at a certain point, that one grows tired, and it goes to the back of the line. And as a result of that, benefits from the other's works. And they found scientifically that geese that fly in groups can fly 71% farther than those that are doing it alone. Or the draft horses. These that pull heavy weights, and they can have a world championship going on, and they're pulling, and one can pull close to 5,000 pounds, and then second place is like 4,500 pounds, and somebody gets the idea. I wonder what they would pull if they were together, and they harness them together, and they yoke them together, and they pull over 12,000 pounds. And so there's power in being alongside someone. Well, we come to this all-alone wound, and we first have to think of the three significant relationships that bless and energize a man's life. The three significant relationships that bless and energize a man's life. First one is the admiring mentor. You ever had an older man step into your life in a key season? It could be a coach, a first employer, it could be a dad, it could be a relative. But many times it's somebody outside the home that for whatever reason, and this is a healthy relationship, they take the time, they make the effort to pour into your life. Think about that for you. Did you ever have someone like that? I did, and I'm grateful. And they would speak encouraging words into my life and challenge me. And a lot of times they did it, they were unaware that they were doing it, but I looked to them. I'm glad that I showed up in prayer meeting and I prayed with these alongside these men. And the admiring mentor, that's number one. And then number two, or B, the side-by-side friend. And that's people all over the place, people that you can have come alongside you. Usually they're close to your age. But they come alongside and they are an encouragement to you, and you're doing life together as you look forward. You're doing life face to face, but you're also doing life side by side. And those are great relationships that bless and energize a man's life. And then there's lastly the protege, the person that is younger and you see that they need help and they're willing to receive that help, and you speak into their life, and it's a great thing, and it blesses you and it energizes you. And so biblically we could think of that, the admiring mentor as Paul, the side-by-side friend as Barnabas, and the protege Timothy. And we need all of these types of relationships. And there's times in our life where we're busy and we can't do this, but there are opportunities, and we keep our eyes open and look for those opportunities to pour into other people's lives. Well, secondly, we need the all alone wound defined. And so this is how we would define it: a social, emotional, and spiritual loss caused by the lack of healthy male comradeship that results in, and we'll get in those in a second, but let me repeat that: a social, emotional, and spiritual loss caused by the lack of healthy male comradeship. Okay, and what does this result in? That results in loneliness and discouragement. We need other men in our lives. Or foolish behaviors and blind spots. I have two decent eyes. I know I have readers around the house now, but for the most part, my eyes are good enough that I thank God I can see you use them. But I don't need just two good eyes. I need four eyes or six eyes or eight eyes. People that see my blind spots and help me. And then lastly, short-sighted masculinity. Not looking for the long haul. I'm making decisions emotionally. I'm making decisions alone. Big decisions. And that can be where we get into trouble. Point number three. The point: every man benefits from the company of other men. Every man benefits from the company of other men. A, the friendless American male. And this sometimes is looked at as a quality that's great. I hear the term rugged individualism used, and that sounds great. And there's people that are successes and they did well, but I find that sometimes those rugged individualists, they don't have the best marriages. They don't have the things that I would look at. They're trying to be the Marlboro man. Marlboro, the cigarette, used to have these commercials and ads where there was this guy that he's all alone and he's out on the range, and it might appear great, but I don't know if you saw, but the Marlboro man didn't end well. B, the significant downside to isolation. One, they get a warped perspective on life. I had a friend who was very dear to me, but I could tell that he was starting to isolate himself. I tried to stay in contact. He didn't want to call because he knew I'd probably speak to him about his relationship with his wife and how things were going. And as a result, ultimately, he divorced her and married a new one. He seems happy, but he kind of distanced himself. And it breaks my heart because I truly believe I was a friend to him and I did want the best for him. But you get a warped perspective on life, which number two leads to loose living. You got nobody telling you what to do. I'm a man, I don't need somebody telling me what to do, but actually we do, and we'll always have a need for authority. Three, a loss of motivation for the noble things of life. There's a study done a little while back concerning homeless men and what got them into the state that they were, that and sometimes it's economic issues, sometimes there's mental health issues, sometimes there's addictions. Those are all valid, but in asking the question, the most universal question was, and the universal response was, who expects you to be somebody in life? And every one of them said nobody. They had no motivation. They had nobody speaking there, and nobody that had high expectations for them. And as a result of them, that they had a loss of motivation for those noble things in life. And then lastly, point four, loss of opportunities for much needed transparency. There's never taking the time to have somebody speak into their life in ways that would have benefited them. I want to look at some scriptures here with you, and I'm going to look these up each time as I'm talking with you concerning them. But we've come to this first verse here, and it's Proverbs 27 and verse 17. And we see that it says here, 27:17, it says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. In a little bit, I'm going to be kneading, because it's time to mow the lawn. I'm going to be kneading to get my blade sharpened, and I'm going to bring him over to a friend's house, and he has a grinder. And when he sharpens it, whenever I see blade sharpened, knife sharpened, there's always sparks. There's always a loud grinding sound, because for them to be sharp the way they ought to be sharp, that is required. And so in relationships with other men, they're speaking into my life, iron sharpens iron. That may sound great, but the reality is there's going to be hard times too, because they're buffing off, they're taking away the parts that are not good. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I have, according to Facebook, I have over 3,000 in quotations, I put the word friends. Well, they aren't my friends. They're acquaintances. I mean, some of them are my friends, but a person that has all these people around them, it's almost like the prodigal son. He's got all these people. It's a good time, but ultimately, when it comes down to getting to real friendship stuff, that's not the thing that's going to carry you. And so a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that's the key. Then we look at Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Wow, it's great to have somebody speaking into our lives, somebody that's there when we fall. That's a real friend. And there's times where we need a ride, or we need something hard happens, and it'd be great to have somebody there to give you perspective. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So when the hard time comes, who would you call, and you know they would drop everything and be there for you? Do you have anybody? And let me ask you this. Are you that type of person? Like when somebody calls, do they know that you would show up? There's something powerful and beautiful about that. And then Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And if you could imagine the time that you've had Hershey chocolate, or you've had Ovaltine, or you've had anything that you had to stir. Why are you doing that? Well, it stays at the bottom. It just, the residue stays there at the bottom. And it takes something stirring it up to make its way up, so that you have this drink that has the qualities to it that you want. It's not bland. You wouldn't get to the end of the drink and then there's all the sugar at the bottom, or there's all the chocolate at the bottom. You want it evenly distributed, and it takes a stirring up for that to happen. And thus, when we look at friendships, the willingness to say, I'm going to stir up something of love and good works. And then lastly, look at Jonathan and David, 1 Samuel 20, and verse 17. And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. This is a deep concern and affection. And that was the basis of their covenantal relationship between Jonathan and David. And that's the affection commanded by God when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And so these are the verses of what Scripture has to say that we benefit from. Okay, what you can do. Well, one, you can learn the three keys to friendship. Loyalty. That's important. Are you somebody that's loyal to somebody? Even when the times are down, you're there. You're loyal. Faithfulness. And in parentheses, I'd put after that, to our values. Close parentheses. So you have some that you're friend with, you have values with them, You value your marriages. You value your time. You value the scriptures. You value your church. There's a faithfulness to them. That's a friend. And then encouragement. You are an encouragement to the men that are in your life. So three keys to friendship: loyalty, faithfulness, and then encouragement. And then two, reach out to other men. That's something you can do. Reach out to other men. Make the effort. If you think about, have you ever seen the scene from the junior high dance? And on one wall is the guys and one wall is the girls, and they're staring at one another, and it takes a little bit of effort to walk over and make that effort to do that. Number three, challenge men you like to meet regularly with you to, in quotation marks, get better. You're purposeful in these relationships. You're either a mentor or a mentee. Number four, get real and share your heart. Boy, that's important, that you would be taking this seriously enough that you would do that. And then five, enjoy life together. Enjoy life together. Are you doing that? Because so much of this, if you're not careful, can become very studious and booky, and that isn't necessarily helping you in your quest for authentic manhood. Well, here's some questions. As we wrap up, what impacted you the most in this session, and explain? What impacted you the most in this session, and explain? Two, what hinders you the most right now from strong male friendships? What's holding you back? Explain. Something that came across my mind. I've been burned before. And if you don't like getting burned. And you thought this person was a friend, and then, wow. But that, don't stop. Don't stop making the effort, because don't blame future people on what past people have done. Yes, you could get hurt. That's okay. Jesus was hurt. Jesus was let down. Jesus was burned. And lastly, three, what steps could you take right now to develop a real friend? Explain that. And then later, as we're working on a manhood plan, include those steps in your manhood plan. So how are all these things playing out for you? And what does that look like for you? I'm hoping that this all alone wound can be taken care of.